What's going on, everybody? Welcome back to the Off the Cliff Show, brought to you by 14th and Market Podcast Network. Huge win from the Sixers last night in the playing game to get the 7th seed. We're going to talk about all of it, how Joel Embiid performed, Nick Batum, Tyrese Maxey, the Heat defense, why they're cowards. We're going to get into all of it. Let's get it started right now. Here go the intro. All right, man. So, yeah, Sixers versus Heat last night in the playing tournament to get the 7th seed and go on to face the 2 seed New York Knicks. First of all, I was there. That was probably one of the best games I've ever been to as far as being a Sixers fan, as far as like just being a basketball fan. So shout out to 14th Market for providing me with those tickets. It was amazing. Hopefully I can go back for a playoff game. You feel me? But yeah, I got the shirt. You know what I'm saying? They had the for the love of Philly shirts. Got that joint. This joint, it's like an extra large. It's huge on me. Not even gonna lie. But yeah, man, it was a great game last night. Fun to watch. Talk about the first half. The Sixers looked really like shell-shocked in the first half once the Heat went to their 2-3 zone, and it was like a shape-shifting zone. They did a couple of different things out of it, and it kind of, you know, scared me a little because it looked like the Sixers had no idea what to do. So for everybody that was confused why Joel Embiid looked so useless and Tyrese Maxey kind of as well looked very useless versus the zone, because the Heat played a triangle in 2 zone, and essentially what that is meant to do is literally built to stop a big man like Joel Embiid, and it's also built to stop the lead guard. So technically, so if you want to look at it, and the Heat did a bunch of different things, you know, in the middle of the zone, which confused the Sixers, but it's essentially like either a 2-1-2 or a 1-2-2 or anything with the triangle at the top, right? So it's always going to be two men essentially double-teaming Joel Embiid off ball. That's why it seemed like the Sixers couldn't even feed the ball to him in the post or through the middle of the zone. It's also on Joel, too. He has to be more aggressive, fighting for position and being able to get the ball at, like, the gaps of the zone, like the elbows and also free throw line area. He really just has to be more aggressive in those instances. One thing that, you know, last night was really discouraging to me is Joel's back to this, like, prior to the injury, I was scared of this, but like he's back to that where he doesn't get the ball for a couple of possessions. He kind of mentally checks out. And there was a couple of times during the zone, he was just like walking through the zone, trying to get to the areas because he knew he wasn't going to be able to get the ball because the way that the Heat were guarding him. And I was like, bro, you still have to get engaged. You still have to be engaged. Like, you have to actually want to get the ball and actually fight for position, because you fighting for position is going to open things up for other players on the court, right? Another thing with the shape-shifting zone that the Heat implemented is, like I said, is meant to guard, and it's built to guard Joel Embiid and Tyrese Maxey and stop them from doing anything, and essentially saying, okay, everybody else on the Sixers are going to have to beat us. And essentially in the first half, it worked to perfection. Maxey couldn't get anything going. He couldn't get into a rhythm. Joel definitely couldn't get into a rhythm. He couldn't really get the ball. The Sixers, others, had plenty of open shots, but they were, like, afraid to shoot it. Like, Batum and Buddy Hield pump-faked a couple of threes. Even Maxey pump-faked a couple of threes. I'm like, bro, we got, like, y'all got to shoot the ball. And the zone, like I said, it really worked because it really checked the stars out of the game. Like, Joel Embiid and Tyrese Maxey, you could visibly see it. They just weren't engaged to the game because, like, they couldn't get into a rhythm. The Sixers at this point couldn't get a stop. They couldn't get the ball into Joel Embiid. It was just a weird dynamic. Credit to the Heat zone. But they're cowards. So, of course, they went zone because they can't play man. Imagine being an NBA team, grown-ass men in the huddle talking about, yo, all right, it's time to go zone, y'all. Like, this is what we got to do because we can't play man. We can't guard anybody on the opposing team, so we have to be cowards and play a zone. So eventually, you knew the zone was going to get figured out because no team – you're playing against all professional athletes and professional basketball players. There was no way you thought a zone was going to work for 48 minutes. Are y'all kidding me? Are y'all stupid? What else? Jimmy Butler, right? So – had a good first half. I think he had 19 first half points. He was really being a disruptor on defense. He was doing a bunch of things on offense that the Sixers couldn't stop because he's a foul baiter. He even got hurt on a wide open layup where he tried to flop into a foul. He did get the foul, but then the replay showed like Kelly Oubre didn't touch him. But he ended up, I think, tearing his MCL or straining it or something like that. So he's going to be out indefinitely with that injury. But yeah, man, he was a disruptor. 19 first half points, I believe. He didn't score in the second half. I think he did have a steal in the second. He had like a steal dunk in the second half. But all that playoff Jimmy stuff, bro, get out my face, dog. I'm not trying to hear it. Two second half points or zero second half points. Who cares? He didn't do anything. He was just out there getting cardio because the Heat are not. I told y'all. I was trying to tell y'all all week the Heat suck. Actually, all season I was trying to tell y'all the Heat suck. They implement these gimmicky defenses that only high school and college teams run because there's not a bunch of professional athletes out in the court. So it'll work. But when you're in a when you're a professional and you're in the NBA, that stupid stuff ain't gonna work 48 minutes a game. They just do this, oh, we're gonna full court trap. And then once we done full court trap, we're gonna drop back into his own. We're really gonna confuse them. Like the smartest players in the world aren't just gonna eventually figure it out and cook y'all because they're just not a good team. You're not about to tell me a team starting Haywood Highsmith and Duncan Robinson. Well, they didn't start Duncan last night, but you're not about to tell me a team starting Haywood Highsmith is about to win and or beat any team in the playoffs or in a play-in or in a play-in situation or in a playoff situation. It's just not going to happen because the Heat suck. They suck. And you're not about to tell me you want to be a serious threat as a team with Jimmy Butler as your number one option. Get out of my face, yo. I'm done. Because everybody on TikTok, I made a TikTok about the Heat, right? I think like the first three words, like the Heat suck. And everybody in the comments like, oh my God, why is he saying the Heat suck? Like they literally made the finals last year. They went on that fluke run. Now everybody thinks that this undefeatable underdog and that they're never actually a 7 or 8 seed. They're just playing possum. Jimmy Butler doesn't play into the playoffs. What stupid ass sense does that make? They're just not good. They went on a fluke run, a Mickey Mouse Disney World run last season, and then it got them to the finals. All right. So what? It's not going to continuously happen. No team has ever done that in the NBA. If you're a good team, you're going to eventually be a top 3 seed. They can't do it because Jimmy Butler isn't what people think he is. All right? He might catch it. He might catch fire in the playoffs here and there. Cool. But he's not a real number one option. He's not even he at best the number two. We're not going to keep lying about them. They suck. They're not a good team. They haven't been anything since LeBron left. They're just this fake playoff gritty Heat culture team that's not actually good, and they just fight and scrap out wins because you got Haywood Highsmith and a bunch of my career players on the bench that just come in and play really hard, really gritty. There's a bunch of PJ Tuckers. I'm not trying to be out. Oh my God, I hate them so much. I hate the Heat so much. I'm so glad that they're about to get bounced out the playoffs, bro. Oh my God. Anyway, second half. Really good second half from pretty much everybody on the Sixers, just stepping up and contributing to the moment. One thing that I did like about something that the Sixers did, Nick Nurse did, is he implemented campaign. Now, I think campaign only had about maybe 4 or 5 minutes, honestly. I don't know how long he I could check right now and see how long he was actually in the game. I hate when I do this because I should just check this stuff beforehand, right? Wednesday. Box score, campaign. Oh, campaign only had 3 minutes, but those 3 minutes were really essential because while the Sixers were like mentally defeated, they were down in the dumps. You could tell that the body language was bad. He came in and he like injected energy into him. Now he didn't really do much. He had a clutch. I don't want to say clutch, but he had a corner three that went in right out the gate, and it was like, all right, like it was a little bit energy. Every time he got the ball, he pushed it in on a fast break, but not even a fast break. He just pushed it just to pick up the pace of what the Sixers were doing because they were moving really slow. They were looking really lethargic, and he got in. It was one thing. I don't know if they showed it on the broadcast, where coming out of a timeout, he was like hyping himself up, yelling at himself. It's only him on the court in the crowd, and he's hyping himself up, like talking to himself, but in like a real angry way, just like trying to get some type of momentum going, trying to get some type of feel, some type of like, oh, what's the word? Some type of angriness and toughness out there. And like to show, all right, like we are the Sixers. Like there's a reason everybody's fearing us from this 7th seed because they believe that we can really go on a real run. We have the MVP Joel Embiid. We have the most improved player in Tyree, who will win most improved player, Tyree, all-star Tyrese Maxey. We have Kelly Oubre, who has come on to be the third star of this team. Like we should be feared. right? So we have to inject that type of toughness and show that type of toughness on the court versus a lesser team. And I think Campaign really did that in that 3 minutes, just providing that energy, providing that toughness, providing that edge that the Sixers needed. So I really like that Campaign, something that just having a coach like Nick Nurse, really, like, it shows the parallels to Doc Rivers and Nick Nurse, right? Nick Nurse knew that at that moment you needed somebody in there to inject some type of energy into the team, and he decided to go all the way down to the third point guard on the bench in Campaign and put him in the game for the little 3 to 4 minutes because he knew what he needed out of them. Also credit to Nick Nurse for coming out in the second half and figuring out the Heat zone, right? Because like I said, the Sixers looked like they had no idea what to do against that triangle and two zone in the first half. It looked like they were defeated. They were like, all right, we're not going to get it. I mean, we're not going to figure it out. And then they went into halftime. Nick Nurse noticed what was going on. He noticed how to beat it and then came out in the second half and adjusted to everything. And we all know Doc was a terrible coach at adjusting, right? Or mid-game adjustments. Nick Nurse is the complete opposite. They came out, he started getting Embiid on like the top of the key or on like the far elbow, getting him in different spots where essentially he had to be the decoy at this point. He had to be the hub of everything that was going on. And you could tell like he was trying to earlier in the season, like Embiid was fine with it. And then like this year, I guess now, I mean, coming back from the injury and being in the playoffs and hearing all the talk and playoff chatter of, is he just a regular season player? Can he do any of this in the playoffs? How's the knee? Embiid feels so much pressure that he feels as though he has to just dominate the game by scoring instead of earlier in the season while the Sixers were going on their streak. Is yes, he was getting his numbers, but he was also okay with being a facilitator, being the hub, being the decoy, and getting the other guys involved, which is why the Sixers looked so dominant, and they were the best. They had the best starting five or the second best team in the NBA because Joel was fine with getting everybody else involved and everybody was eating and everybody was flowing. It was rhythm. So that's what Nick Nurse changed. He said, all right, well, Joel, you have to come in here. You have to be the decoy. You have to be the hub for everything to go through just so we can get other guys involved and kind of get a rhythm and figure out how to beat this zone defense. And you can see he would get them on the weak side. He would get them on like the weak side, like elbow or like I said, stretch them out, foul line extended. And then he would just post up an opposite shooter on the other side and Embiid would just make that cross court pass, or they would make the one pass, swing, get it to another open shooter. So this is why Buddy Hield had a good run in the second half. Nick Batum had his good run in the second half. Kelly Oubre had a run. It was just about getting other guys involved because, like I said, the Heat zone was designed to make sure Joel and Tyrese Maxey did absolutely nothing, and they essentially didn't. And eventually, Joel Embiid, after he was a hub and a decoy and got it to other players, now the Heat zone had to extend. They couldn't guard Embiid as aggressively, and then he started to get his in the flow of the game. Like, he had a transition three. He had the rebound, like getting his points and stats, like we've always said. In other ways, he had an and-one rebound. I think he had another three, but it just shows that he's learning, right? And he's not just saying, okay, I have to go score. I have to do this. I have to go one-on-one. He's like, I can get my points and my rebounds another way. I can get it off the glass. I can get easy layups. I can get easy transition threes, easy jumpers when the ball comes to me and everything is in the flow of the offense, right? So definitely something that I loved about Embiid, especially in that fourth quarter where he really showed up. He really showed that he is the MVP of the league. He can take that burden and then dish it and then not dish it, but then like expand it to other players to where everybody else can get their shine. And then he can just, like I said, be the hub, be the decoy out there and make sure that this is about team. And that's the only way you're going to win in the playoffs. If it's about team, it's about Nicholas Batum going out there getting 20. Well, being able to go out there and get 20 because they're going to go overly guard and beat. It's about Buddy Hield coming in, providing a spark off the bench. Players like Campaign, players like Kyle Lowry, who had a huge steal, a behind-the-back steal on Jaquez. I keep forgetting how to say his name. But, yeah, another thing that I saw on Twitter last night was people saying the Heat gave the blueprint on how to stop and beat. Let me explain something to y'all. A zone defense, the reason why NBA teams don't play zone defense is, one, because you're going against a bunch of professional basketball players that know how to break a zone. And two, if you do not practice the zone religiously and have the players for it, it will not work. It will get busted very easily. If you don't, and you also have to have a core that has been around a long time for you guys to know exactly where each other is going to be on the court. There are so many misassignments that can happen in the zone. It's not just about guarding your area. You have to guard someone else's area while guarding your area at the same time, depending on where the ball is on the floor. Unless you practice this religiously during the course of an 82-game season in the NBA, you will never be able to get it down pat. You cannot. The zone is not just something you can implement in the playoffs because you've seen another team do it. This isn't the NFL. There is no blueprint, especially with a zone, right? You may be, like we say it all the time, you're never going to be able to stop a great player. You'll be able to slow them down, but not with trying to implement a zone where there's a lot of easy holes in it, especially if you're not running it religiously throughout the course of an NBA season. The Heat practice zone. They play the most zone out of any NBA team in the league. And this is why they're so good at it. And they have different iterations of it all within one zone, right? And that's why it looks completely different. All in one play, it gets switched from a 3-2 to a 2-2-1 to a 2-3. Like, and switch to all those things in the middle of one possession. And that's why they're so good at it, because they continuously practice it. Now, if the Knicks try to implement this, it will not work, because those players have not practiced zone continuously and played it in high leverage games for the entire season. This is why when the Sixers also try to go zone most time, they usually give up a bunch of wide open threes, because not everybody doesn't know where to be and what the rotations are in the zone, because they don't practice it all the time, right? So you can't sit here and say the Heat gave the blueprint, because the Knicks aren't going to be able to enforce the zone or implement the zone like the Heat did, right? What else did I want to say? Also, the Sixers eventually ended up destroying that Heat zone after the second half when they just figured it out. Like I said, a bunch of players got wide open shots. Buddy Hield got hot. Nicholas Batum got hot. Kelly Oubre went on a run. I was going to say Tobias, but he never does anything. But the Sixers ended up breaking that zone pretty easily in the second half, because they got time to look at it, sit down in the second half, and figure it out. And which is why I said Nick Nurse is just good to have a good coach in Nick Nurse. I saw somebody say Eric Spoelstra coached circles around Nick Nurse. How? They ended up destroying the zone in the second half, where the Heat had to go man for multiple possessions, and the Sixers got whatever shot they wanted. Then they tried to go back zone, and since the Sixers knew what was coming, they continuously got whatever shot they wanted out of that. So it's like, you can't, once the zone is figured out, there's nothing you can do about it. You're going to have to go manage. You're going to have to deal with the consequences of guarding a Joel Embiid or a Tyrese Maxey. You're trying to slow them down, right? So that's just something that I didn't like what I saw on Twitter. There's no blueprint, especially with the zone, because like I said, there's just so many breakdowns that can happen in it that I don't think other people realize. You can't just say, all right, let's go zone, and then it's going to result in what you saw the Heat do. Like, you have to practice it continuously. You have to be used to playing it. You've got to have like a high mindset in zone. You have to rotate. You have to all be on a string pretty much. It's just something that you would just have to play basketball to know. So we can finally get to him. You know, fourth quarter yelling, Wada Batumin, my dog. 20 points in the second half, big threes in the fourth quarter, was screaming at the crowd, huge block on Tyler Herro to win the game. And that's just what you're going to need, right? Because when you have games where you see Joel Embiid not being aggressive or not being the player that he was in the regular season, not putting up the points and stats that he was, you're going to need the others to help him out. Now, a lot of people have blamed the others in previous iterations of the Sixers. So, like, the Ben Simmons, Tobias Harris, PJ Tucker, James Harden, not getting the job done or not helping Embiid out when he needs the help. Well, now they have the team to do it. Nicholas Batum last night, like I said, 20 points. I think he was six of 10 from three. Going to need that. Very, very big off the bench. Played great defense down the stretch on Jimmy Butler. Played great defense on Tyler Herro, whoever he was matched up on. He played pretty good defense. And it's just something like this energy that you need. And somebody else should just say, okay, I see the big fella is getting strapped. He's getting put in the box. He can't really do anything. Let me see what I can do. Let me expand the floor. Let me stretch the floor and make sure that I'm able to get him to stretch this defense and hit a couple of shots to help him and relieve some pressure off of him and Tyrese Maxey. And that's exactly what you need. Even Kelly Oubre came on with Embiid, threw the dime to Kelly Oubre down low. And Kelly Oubre has some great defensive possessions as well. But it just shows that the others this is why the Sixers team feels so different, because the others are like, okay, I see what I need to do to take some pressure off of Joel Embiid, to take the pressure off of Tyrese Maxey, and to really make sure that I can put my imprint on this game to where the defense, I play basketball too, you got to worry about me. And I love that. Love that fourth quarter from Batum, man. Just exactly what you need in playoff situations. And just need somebody else to step up. Even when if you go back, it's always going to be the others to help. So even when you go back to when the Miami Heat beat the Oklahoma City, and this is just a series that I remember, even going back to when they beat the Spurs, when Mike Miller hit like six or eight threes that game, and was able to close the Thunder out for the Heat to win their championship. Or when Ray Allen hits that big three in the corner. Like, it's just, or Chris Bosh grabbing a rebound. It's just, it's players like that that are going to win you playoff games. It's not always going to be this superstar matched up versus this superstar. Like, it doesn't work like that, because the way the NBA coaches, they focus on what you're best at. They're going to take it away. And it's going to come down to Kelly Oubre, can you go get 15? Nick Batum, can you go get 18? Like, can somebody else score? Tobias, can you go get 12? Like, that's what they're going to boil it down to, right? So, hopefully, it feels like the Sixers team is different. It feels like they'll be able to get over the hump. I do feel like Joel Embiid kind of figured it out last night and got over that sort of mental hump of, God, I'm getting defended completely different than I was in the regular season. Like, how do I figure this out? And it looks like in game time, he kind of figured it out, got into a rhythm, got hype, got his teammates involved. And it was just really good to see, something that we have not seen from the Sixers in a while. So hopefully it continues. So that is that. Want to appreciate everybody for listening. Please go like. Oh my God, my voice cracked. Please go like, subscribe, no matter what you're listening on. If you're listening on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, YouTube, go like, subscribe. It's free. It supports me. Go watch the shorts, all that. But we will talk about the upcoming series versus the 2 seed. New York Knicks. Do think the Sixers will win that series in six, just because I don't think they're as good of a defensive team. They're really good. I don't want to discredit the Knicks at all. They are really good. But without Julius Randle, I don't think they have enough to stop Joel Embiid and Tyrese Maxey. And Jalen Brunson will have to completely play out of his mind for the Knicks to win a 7-game series versus them. So I'll talk about that more in the next episode, but wanted to get this out. Huge win, bro. Yeah, man. Go like, subscribe. Holla at y'all.